was thrust like lightning. A spearhead thrust to pierce my heart. Trying to dodge it would be useless. Being lightning, it's invisible to the human eye. But the lightning that tries to pierce me is repelled by the moonlight that tries to save me. Clang. A beautiful sound. No. The sound wasn't beautiful at all. The sound before me is heavier than steel. It was actually the sound of steel. The armor she is wearing isn't beautiful at all, and as unrefined as the cold night. It's just that the night is beautiful enough to turn the sound into something charming. Like a ballad.
I ask of you, are you my master?
She asks in a voice that lights up the darkness.
I have come forth in response to your summons. From this time forward, my sword shall be yours, and your fate shall be mine. Now, our contract is complete.
Yeah, the contract was completed. When she chose me as her master, I'm sure I swore to help her too. The moonlight still lights up the darkness. As if following the knight's example, the shed falls silent again. Time has stopped. The scene lasts less than a second. But I'm sure I'll remember this scene vividly even when I've gone to hell. Face slightly turned, quiet green eyes. The instant becomes an eternity. A blue outfit symbolizing her sways in the wind. A faint blue light filters in. Golden hair shines in the moonlight.
This is a story from 10 years ago. I'm watching someone I know very well. A tall man with a deep-featured face who, to my knowledge, has never told a joke, is patting my head. No, that's not quite right. I guess he doesn't know how much strength to use. So, to be more accurate, he's grabbing my head and pushing it around. I guess that should be expected. After all, that's the first time he's ever patted my head.
I'll have to get going now. You know what to do, right?
I answer the deep voice with a polite,
"Yes?"
The man patting my head nods once, lets go of my head, and stands up. So, that was it. If I'd known back then that it was our final moment together, I would have made him laugh with my best jokes. I had practiced telling jokes a lot, in the hope that I could bring a smile to his grave face. I guess you could say I was sad that I couldn't tell him any.
Put the association in your debt by the time you mature. I'll let you decide what to do after that. You should be able to take care of yourself.
Even though he said such things, I guess he was still worried. He told me about the heirloom jewels, the jewels inherited from the master, and how to manage the basement. As he was telling me all the things I didn't yet know, I realized even as a child that most likely he wouldn't be coming back. A war had started. Not a war between countries, but a war between people. The ones at war were 7 people. In a situation like this, the word war should be unsuitable, but here it's a different story. The ones in the conflict are mages. The 7 Magi, each from a different faction, had started to compete for unknown reasons and killed each other in unknown ways. The man standing before me was one of them. He, too, was in a position to kill or be killed. He must have known more keenly than I did that his time was near.
Rin, the Holy Grail will appear eventually. It is our duty as a Tosaka family to win it. More importantly, if you want to be a Magus, you can't avoid it.
Once more, he patted my head and left. That was the end. That was the last time I saw the man who entered the Holy Grail War as a master and died. The man who was my teacher as well as my father.
Take care, Father!
I see him off politely. I knew I was on the verge of crying, but I shed no tears. I loved him. He was a great father and a great Magus. Among Magi, there are only obstinate people. In the whole world, I don't think anyone had a better character than his. He taught me as a teacher and loved me as a father.
That's why I chose my path according to what he left me in the end.
If you want to be a Magus, you can't avoid it.
In the end, he left me those words as a Magus and not as a father. That is why, at that moment, my path was determined.
All right, I'll do my best to be a proper Magus.
It's only natural for a student to follow the words of their teacher.
Since then, through many trials, I, Tosaka Rin, have matured.
It has been 10 years since the winter day on which my father went to war. I haven't exactly been waiting for this moment, but I am excited. That's only natural. The event I've never forgotten about is going to start. Something is ringing. Shut up! Stop it! The sound doesn't stop. It rings loudly as if I'm an enemy. What? Come on! I was up late last night. It should let me sleep in a bit longer. No, it has to let me sleep in. I was decrypting my father's will until early this morning, and I've used up too much mana. In other words, my mind and body are dead tired. The alarm clock doesn't seem to speak my language. So why does the ringing sound like it's telling me you're going to be late? I'm a good student, but maybe I can get to school at the last moment just for today. That's right. I set the alarm 30 minutes early, so I should be able to sleep for 30 minutes more. I look at the alarm clock drowsily. The clock is pointing exactly at 7. I usually get up at 6:30, so I slept in for over an hour. I stare at the alarm clock for a few seconds. Shutting it off, I decide to get out of bed. After I walk into the living room to turn on the heater, I head to the bathroom. At times like this, living on your own is inconvenient. If there were someone to wake up before me, the living room would be warm by now. I wash my face and brush my hair. A cold morning, a cold sink. The only advantage is that the cold water wakes you up instantly. I tie my ribbon and I'm all ready. All I have to do is eat breakfast and head out. Looking at the clock, it's only a bit past 7, and I'm a bit disappointed. Man, I guess I don't have to run after all. Then again, I would never do anything as clumsy as running to school anyway. It's custom of the Tosaka family to act with composure and elegance at all times. Taking a custom like that seriously means that my family must have come from a high-class background. This old western-styled mansion is proof of that, and on top of it, the Tosaka family is a bloodline of sorcerers able to use the power of magic. Well, it's not something I can brag about. Actually, I can't speak openly about it at all. Oh, by the way, I'm a Magus. Who on earth can I brag to about that? Magic is just what it sounds like. Magic. I don't care if you get ideas like abracadabra or whatever. You can just think of us as people who do strange things by casting spells. Oh, but it's not like we fly around on brooms or make stars appear with a wave of a wand. Well, we could do that, but we don't bother as it's kind of meaningless. We're basically heretics who hide ourselves from the world. We're prohibited from standing out, and even if we weren't, we would rather be at home studying magic. On top of that, the word sorcerer is completely inaccurate. To be precise, there are only 5 sorcerers in the world. Things no one can do. Things beyond the ability of modern science. The ones who can make such miracles are the ones we call sorcerers. Miracles that can never be achieved, regardless of time or effort. Those we call sorcery. Those things that are mystical, but achievable with time and effort. Those we call magic. That's why what I do is called magic rather than sorcery. It's complicated, but that's how it is, so just accept it. Well, to be honest, the modern world doesn't recognize the existence of magi. As we believe, control, and learn things that are immeasurable, our existence is incompatible with the modern world, because it's kind of meaningless. Going to a normal school and becoming a normal adult will bring you far more happiness than studying magic. Human technology is great. in the past few hundred years, it has been leading the way ahead of magic. Nothing is impossible for humans. The miracles once only possible through magic are now tools, and not miraculous at all. Still, magic has its good points. Just as there are things possible only through science, there are also things possible only through magic. It is the master in the Tosaka family who said that if science is moving toward the future, magic is moving toward the past. Something about the past and the future ending up at the same place. Who cares? Finishing breakfast, I grab my bag. Should I bring the pendant? I don't really want to take the thing to school, but it'd be a waste just to leave it here. This thing is 100 years old after all. It's by far the greatest jewel in the house. No, that's an understatement. It's much stronger than that. I found this after decoding Father's will last night. It contains the equivalent of 10 years of my magical energy. There was supposed to be an heirloom, and this might as well be it. We, the Magi of Tosaka, are skilled at the transformation of power. We put our magical energy into jewels. To put it simply, the jewels are bullets and we are the gun. The only other thing I can say I received from my father is the magic crest of the Tosaka family engraved on my left arm. In essence, this is the proof of the successor. It's like a tattoo that condenses all the inherited magic of the Tosaka family. It hasn't started yet, but I guess it doesn't hurt to be careful. I put the pendant, which can be said to be my father's memento, into my pocket. This is the last resort. Pretty much anything is possible with the magical energy contained in this. It's 7:30. I should get going or I'll be late for school. I weave my words with magical energy as I close the barrier. Being a magus, I can't let my guard down when leaving my house, even though there's never been a single robber, wandering child, nor a stray cat. And I don't think my neighbor has ever come to say hello either. I look up at the mansion I've grown so accustomed to over the years. Fuyuki is certainly a strange city, with many Western-styled houses on this side of town, and an area full of Japanese-styled houses just beyond the intersection. I guess it's because many foreign families came to live here a long time ago. But even so, I don't see many foreigners around here now. There's a foreigner cemetery in the new city across the river, but it only has the graves of the first generation of families. I'll go to the church and ask the priest sometime. He knows about lots of boring information. Huh? Stepping outside, I feel a certain difference. It's quieter than usual. It's especially quiet, with no sense of the morning's noisiness. At 7:30, the street should be filled with students going to school and people going to work. Well, I guess there are days like this. Perhaps everyone slept in today. It's unusually cold, so I bet everyone's still wrapped up in their warm beds. But even so, it's strange that I haven't seen even one student so far. I'm the only person at the school gates, and it looks like the clubs are just starting their morning practice. In other words, the only explanation is...
Oh, hey Tosaka. You're up early today.
With a small sigh, I turn to the girl who addressed me.
Morning. It really is cold today, huh?
This girl, speaking so frankly, is Mitsuzuri Ayako. She's my classmate in Class 2A, and there are a lot of stories about her. Good morning, Mitsuzuri-san. Please excuse the abrupt question, but do you know what time it is?
Huh? It's almost 7. Are you still asleep?
She waves her hand in front of me, wondering if I'm alright. She is one of the few friends who know I am not a morning person. I guess the clocks at my house were an hour fast. All of them. Did Father arrange for all the clocks to go mad when the pendant was removed from the basement? Don't worry, it's nothing. Anyways, are you off to morning practice?
Yeah, the archery club has lots of problem students and a good member quit. So I have to get them in shape to attract the new freshmen in April.
I see. There's always something to worry about, isn't there?
Oh hey, do you want to come inside? The guys will love it if you come and watch.
I have 3 acquaintances in the archery club. One is Ayako, the person before me right now, and the other 2 are people I barely talk to. And for one of those 2, the word acquaintance doesn't really work. I became friends with Ayako because I had been watching the archery club from afar. All right, I'll go if all I have to do is watch. I have nothing else to do this early anyways. The range feels far too fancy for a school club. Maybe the director had an interest in range sports.
Come on, there's still time before practice. Let's go and have some tea.
Happy about something, she drags me in by the hand. It's a bad habit of hers. Ayako talks like a guy when she's expressing how she feels. As Ayako said, there's no one in here. While sipping hot tea, we prepare for today's class. The tea tastes really good in this open winter environment.
Well, I'll come straight to the point. How's it going, Tosaka? Have you found a reliable partner yet?
Since there's no one else around, Ayako comes straight out and asks me a ridiculous question. Huh, that's a really direct way of asking. The way you ask makes it sound like you've already found yours.
No comment. I'm going to keep it a secret until you tell me. So what's going on? Looking at your face, I feel like I'm right.
No comment. But you'd probably see through my lies. Not yet, on my part. How about you? I assume you don't have time to take it easy either.
I could get one right away, but it's not that kind of matter, you know? Our future depends on this, so I can't just compromise.
I see. So you don't want to choose hastily and lose to me?
Of course not. Making you lose comes first.
She laughs boldly. Jeez, we really are alike.
Yeah, when we first met, I warned you we'd have this kind of relationship.
Well, she said something along the lines of, unless we go all out against each other, we'll never really be friends. I agreed with her on that, and that's why we've had a friendly-enemy relationship.
Don't forget you're the one who started this. You said there's something wrong with a woman never having a boyfriend. So we decided to see which one of us could get a boyfriend before the third year.
Oh yeah, just tit for tat, I suppose. And did we say the loser would obey the winner for a day?
Even kids don't make promises like that nowadays. Just thinking about it gets me excited.
Mitsuzuri Ayako is such a difficult person to deal with. Though I can't wait to beat Ayako either, so not like I'm much better.
I can't call it a complete victory unless I beat you with a relationship you would really be jealous of. As hard as that is for both of us.
Hold it. What do you mean, us? I'll say it right now, but I'm not cold-hearted like you. I'd have no problem loving a guy.
Oh, that's a lie. Or you're fooling yourself. You've never given one good response to any of the confessions made to you. You keep declining, so it must mean you're not interested in men.
Think harder. Couldn't we say I'm declining because I already have someone I like?
That's a good answer. I like that. It's romantic.
I admit, though, I know nothing when it comes to love and relationships.
Let's leave the secret talk there. You never know when someone might walk in on us, and we should act like proper students. After all, I am the captain.
Well, who knew you had social manners like that? It was worth getting up early just to hear that. Ayako slams her hand into the table in a small laugh, almost spilling the tea.
Of course not. I'm the captain in name only, so all I can do is keep an eye on the problem members. There are people better than me, so it's not a very dignified captaincy.
That's right. Speaking of which, it's almost time for the club members to arrive, right? I'll get going, but you stay and be a good captain. Just as I rise, someone enters the range.
Good morning, Captain.
Ah, morning, Mato. You're alone this morning.
Yes. I'm sorry I couldn't be of help.
Nah, it's okay. If he doesn't want to come, there's no point forcing him to.
Ayako addresses the club member who just entered. Well, I'll be going. See you later, Mitsuzuri-san.
Yeah, see you later, Tosaka.
Thank you for coming, Tosaka-senpai.
Thanks. You take care too, Sakura. I leave the range, trying not to interrupt them.
Ah, Tosaka. Good morning. I'm lucky to see you so early.
Bad luck. I run into someone I don't want to see. Good morning, Mato-kun. You're early today.
Of course. As the captain, I have to come early as an example to others.
The smiling guy is Mato Shinji of Class 2C. He's the vice captain of the archery club, and owner of the hearts of half the girls in this school. Kind of an idol, good-looking, good grades, sociable, and kind to girls. I've heard all this from my classmates. Really? I'm sorry to interrupt your good mood, but you're missing a word, Mato-kun. You're missing the vice part of vice captain. You should watch out. It's an important word, and if you put a lot of weight on it, people might think you're concerned about it, right?
You're right. I'll be careful from now on. Thank you, Tosuka.
I've done nothing to earn your thanks, but I guess it doesn't matter if you think otherwise. Bidding him goodbye, I leave the range.
Hold on. You came to watch, right? Then you should stay and watch. You're welcome here.
I'd rather not. I don't want to interrupt the morning practice.
What? You don't have an interest in archery? So why were you watching us after school?
I don't know what he thinks the reason was, but he's undoubtedly making a big misunderstanding. Oh, so you knew, Mato-kun?
Yeah, our eyes met many times, yours and mine. After I shot, you would always be looking at me, right? I wanted to call out to you, but it's the rules, you know? We can't raise our voice on the range.
As if happy about something, Shinji moves in closer to me. His smile carries a sense of superiority.
So, why were you watching the range?
I realize what he's implying. Yes, the looks could certainly have been taken that way. Can you move away, Mato-kun? I really don't like people coming so close to me.
What?
Honestly, it seems you still don't understand. It's not my style, but I'll put it in terms you can understand. Mato-kun, I'm saying that I have less interest in you than in archery. Frankly, I never even knew you were in the range. And I'm not about to start looking out for you now either.
What? You?
As if I've angered him, he reaches out for me violently. I easily avoid it and turn my back on him. Goodbye, Mato-kun. It's good to have some ego, but you shouldn't let it grow too large.
Tosuka, you...
He sounds like he wants to say more, but it doesn't seem like he's going to yell or come after me. If he was just a little bit more mature, he wouldn't be so much trouble for the people around him. From the back of the school where the archery range is based, I enter the school building. It's past 7, but I can't see anyone in the hallway. I continue on inside.